Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray and Brad Williams for the About Last Night podcast.
Theo Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn in the house.
And here's the thing about Theo Vaughn. First of all, Adam, I saw you. You were obviously intimidated because now you weren't sure if you were the best-looking guy in the room.
Yeah,
I was
a little nervous.
Yeah, you know, Theo's a beautiful man, let's be honest.
Hey, he's got a nice southern twang that...
Exactly. Makes you feel at ease.
Yeah.
Comes on in, and what a funny guy.
Theo has an interesting story because he was on Road Rules.
Yeah.
A reality show. Like when MTV first got going with reality television.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like the funny guy on the show, but
yeah.
was still on a competition show.
Right.
With, I don't think any real ideas of getting into the business after that.
And it's not like you saw him and was like, that is a star. You know, like you knew he was the funny guy, but like nothing like popped out. You're like, holy shit.
Sure.
I want to know everything about this guy.
Totally. I mean, charismatic and good looking,
yeah.
but
yeah.
like you still just don't. It's you know, it's a reality show. So you're just like, how nobody had yet made the jump from that to anything big.
Right.
And they still really he's one of
very few.
We tried to even, you know, come up with others on the show. We couldn't. But Theo is one of our favorite comics.
Absolutely.
If you don't know his stand-up, look it up. He's got a half-hour Comedy Central special out. He's got a CD out called...
I'll look it up.
No, you know, isn't it something about little people?
Oh, yeah. It's called Little People versus Cats.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because he's got one of the best... dwarf jokes
yeah.
ever, and that's coming from a professional, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you something. If there's one thing I know, it's dwarf jokes. I don't know what impression I was trying to do there. It just sort of melted into like
Michael
three different
Caine,
people.
Morgan Freeman.
Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman. Talk about little people versus cats.
I want to see that show.
Yeah, no shit, right?
So Theo, you're gonna love this episode. Not only did you get a nice backstory into the Road Rules world,
yeah.
but he's got a new show on TBS. It's coming into its second season called mm-hmm. Deal With It, produced by Howie Mandel, where it's a prank show where they send him. He and a celebrity will be in a booth, and
yep.
they have normal people, which is the best way to do pranks.
Sure,
pranking other normal people,
and they one of the people has an earpiece. And the celebrity can tell the person what to say, and they have to like keep going with it. And
they have to push the envelope.
Yeah.
It could be called push the envelope.
It could be.
They're pushing the envelope, and if they finally get to a point where like I can't keep telling my girlfriend that these girls that keep looking at me, yeah, like, you know, like let's say like they're at a restaurant and a girl walks in, and they're mm-hmm. like, all right, keep flirting and making passes at these girls, and then the girl,
right.
and then his girl, real girlfriend who isn't in on the joke is like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
Like, stay in it, man, for another $500. Catcall one of the girls right in front, you know?
Yeah, and it's amazing what these people will do. And Theo is the ringmaster.
It's amazing what people will do for money.
Thing. Yeah.
It's amazing what I've done for money.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. But he also has this great thing called Crank Text, where he
unbelievable. Started, by the way, I didn't realize how dedicated he is to this,
yeah.
and how he keeps doing it.
I don't want to get into it too much because the stories he tells in the show are so good. But he Crank Text. You think about what it is. Prank text
yeah.
to people he doesn't know.
Random numbers, and then you just go from there.
It's unbelievable. Theo, this episode might be one of my favorites because we laughed so much. And,
yeah.
like, those are always the best when we're just genuinely, we're always having a good time. You know, and we're interested in the people we have on. But Theo was he brought it. And
absolutely. So make sure you check him out on his website, see his tour dates when he's coming to your town, and obviously watch his show when it comes out. Deal With It.
And follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, follow him on Twitter at Theo Vaughn. And follow me on Twitter at Funny Brad. Go to my website, bradwilliamscomedy.com. I got tour dates coming up. San Antonio, Texas. I'm going to be there July 31st through August. That's right. July 31st through August 3rd at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club. And then Tempe, Arizona. I'm going to be there in August because my agent hates me. I'm going to be in Tempe, Arizona, August 7th through the 10th. Come see me melt. I'll be at the Improv, the Tempe Improv. And then
see me melt is the name of an all grilled cheese Alanis Morissette cover band.
Come see me melt. I like that. Then Dallas, Texas, I'm coming to you. Coming to Hyenas, August 14th through the 16th. How about you, Adam Ray?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. All my tour dates, videos, album are on my website, adamraytv.com. Of course, my album, Pop Tart Suicide.
Woo!
Pick it up on iTunes or Amazon. I also just put up a new sketch, a new music video, a cartoon music video. I wrote the music, sang the song. A buddy of mine animated it. I think it's fucking awesome.
It is fucking awesome.
Thanks,
and you'll love the voice because if you listen to our intro song, you know that Adam's got a set of pipes.
Thanks, man.
So it all works.
I should have been born in the 80s and in a rock band.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I, By the way, people have started to impersonate the way I sing, and it's basically, really? Just doing something like this.
Like this, all right, throw your head back. What's up?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Kokomo, Indiana.
The Kokomo, Indiana?
Fuck you. August 7th through the 9th at the Laugh House. It's a new comedy club, and I'm pumped to be there. I'm also going to be at Aces Comedy Club.
In Marietta, California.
Marietta.
Yeah.
August 15th through the 16th. Brad,
love
Bradley
that
helped me out with that.
Absolutely. That is a fun gig. All my people out in Marietta, come see Adam Wright.
Thanks, buddy. And that's it for August. Of course, if you're listening to the podcast and you're doing it on one of your apps, thank you. You can also do it on iTunes. And even if you're not doing it on iTunes, go to iTunes, rate, and comment on the podcast, because that helps us climb the charts and become more of a staple in the comedy podcast world. Of course, you can listen to all the episodes on aboutlastnightpodcast.com. We've got a shit ton of great guests coming up. Bert Kreischer.
Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes.
Wait, no, that was last week.
That was last week.
All right, I guess I just dated myself.
Boy, how great was that episode? who else is coming up? Sam Tripoli, Aaron Foley, Justin Ruppel, TJ Miller, John Stamos. That is happening, by the way.
That is happening.
We keep saying it. Yes. It is happening. It might be in phone call form, but it's happening.
I understand it being in phone call form if he's still afraid to see me in person.
That's right, Stamos. I'm calling you out. What you gonna do, brother, when these 3.5-inch pythons run wild on you? You like how I had to actually look at my arms and go, yeah, it's about 3.5 inches.
So get all the episodes on aboutlastnightpodcast.com. And when you're on there, click on the Amazon banner.
That's
do your
right.
shopping through that. We get a couple kickback dollars. And that helps us to get better mics and headphones for our esteemed guests.
Yeah, because people don't know this. We actually lose money doing this podcast.
Yeah, we do.
But a way to gain money
for you and your business is how, Brad?
A way to gain money is to go to mymetalbusinesscard.com. The art of business is all about leaving an impression, a good impression, so that people feel good and comfortable with your business. Do it with mymetalbusinesscard.com, not your paper flimsy business cards. Fuck that. No, you want steel. You want metal. You want something that leaves an impression. Manly, insert Tim Allen grunt here. So how do you do this? You go to mymetalbusinesscard.com. Custom order your own premium business cards using copper, steel. You can do wedding invitations. You can do dog tags. You can have your business card double as a bottle opener. That's the one I got. My buddy Craig, I knew him in high school. He started this business. It's a great business. So go over there to mymetalbusinesscard.com. Tell them the About Last Night podcast sent you, and they will give you a nice discount there. Mymetalbusinesscard.com.
That's the info. That's the ad. That's the tour dates. That's the Twitter. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this very special episode of the About Last Night podcast with Theo Vaughn.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day, so come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Hey, I'm not, but I will take that as a compliment.
The Jewish people would actually love if you came over, man.
Really?
Brad? Yeah. I don't know any Jewish midgets. I don't even know if there are any, quite honestly.
There are. You guys probably fucking leasing them out to somebody.
like a rent-a-midget program or something?
I mean, just some fucking deal.
Some deal.
You know what I was telling Brad? Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear. Sorry, I was Skyping with some Norwegian chick.
Oh, shit.
Well, and driving here.
Wait, Skyping while you were driving with
her? Yeah, bro. That's legal, right?
sure?
I mean, Oprah hasn't said anything about
that's legal, right? That sounds like the new Jeff Foxworthy. Like, you say some dangerous situation, that's legal, right? So I was drinking and driving while I was talking to my guy who's building my jet ski who's blind. That's legal, right?
That does. That's actually a good... there's actually an impersonator going around on the internet today where some guy like sang in his room with another guy playing piano. He did like 21 impersonations.
I've seen that video.
It's not that good.
It isn't?
No.
Can I be honest? Anytime I see everybody post a link, it makes me go, you know what? I'm not going to watch that.
Right. Yeah. Or some sort of thing where it's like, he does 100 impersonations in 32 seconds.
Yeah,
it's like,
okay. Nine of them are Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
a variation of Kermit
yeah,
the Frog.
Yeah, it's just
like Kermit the Frog taking a shit. You know? Kermit the Frog texting a Norwegian chick while driving.
Is that legal? Hi, hold there. Could you show me your titties there?
Wow.
Yay!
By the way, Brad doing Kermit the Frog, already great. Brad doing the yay and throwing his tiny arms in the air.
I have to wait.
Yeah. Give him a break.
Oh no, these are not regular arms,
really?
Bro.
Dude, jacked, man.
They don't even straighten. Yeah,
they're jacked arms.
Yeah, but you don't. I mean, I straighten mine. It does nothing for me. You know.
Yeah, I got tiny arms, but they fit my body, like it means I can do a fuckload of push-ups.
We're talking about Brad's sweet ass.
Are we already on?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's how we get going.
That's fine. No, it's good.
Yeah, yeah. Brad's sweet ass we're talking about because in Brazil...
Got back, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just got back from the World Cup.
That was insane.
Why did we talk about we're talking about all these World Cup stories and then we got on your ass for a minute. Why were we talking? What was the tie-in?
Ass cheeks.
Yeah, just the fact that I have just about as sweet of ass as all those Brazilian chicks walking around in thong bikinis. Like, if you had the option of looking at many of those asses or my ass in, like, maybe some booty shorts, you would absolutely choose my ass.
I might. I mean, I would certainly consider. I'd love to see them up next against each other.
I would love to see a side-by-side Coke versus Pepsi.
What about
challenge?
Germany's up 6-0 right now, right? In the first 7 minutes of the game. First 30 minutes of the game, I think
Jesus,
it's 6-0.
Yeah, you know, these Germans, we sort of steamroll Brazil, yeah. We just sort of come in there and Kristallnacht.
By the way, that's Kermit the Frog Nazi style.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Kermit anymore. I think it's just a Nazi.
I hold it, everybody. Yay!
Oh, yeah, it's just a Nazi. It's a Nazi at the beach.
Getting a little sweaty here.
That's a Nazi at the beach. Pretty sure that was a one-act play by David Mamet that didn't really go that far.
Oh,
Nazi at the beach.
I saw Waiting for Guidette recently in Jersey.
Hey, Tabitha.
This bitch ain't showing up, Joey.
I know a lot of people don't know how smart that joke was, but it was very good, dude.
Thank you, man.
Mad props to you, sir.
Mad props to you guys, man. Big fans, obviously, both of you guys. And sorry I'm late.
Dude, no, you're fine. Good, we've been wanting to have you for a while because we were just pulling up some of your stand-up, too, because I want to play. When there's people that come on that are like some of my favorite comics, I want people who are listening who may... I was just talking with the Sebastian Mascalco about this, about how many great comics there are that some people just because of whatever reason, like some people who have this mindset of like, if I don't see them on a sitcom, right. I don't know they do stand-up.
Well, there's tons of great comics that a lot of people don't know.
And so I like
that America doesn't know. I mean, I would even say three of them are at this table, you know,
Amen.
Not to judge us or unjudge us.
Right. Exactly.
You know, not to say that we don't have our pockets of fans and that we haven't, you know, garnered a lot of fans by going around the country and performing for people.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not household
absolutely.
Names.
And it's funny because I tell people, because I got friends that like say, hey, I'm thinking about going to a comedy club or whatever. Who should I go see? And I always give them this advice. I say, look down the list of comics that are coming to the town. Look for the name that you don't know from a movie or a sitcom or something, and then go see that person because they're there because they're funny.
Right.
They're not there because they just had a movie that came out in the last
week. That's a
good
point, actually.
I mean, and I'm going to keep saying that until I'm that guy that had the TV show or movie and say, oh, no, definitely go see the TV show or the movie guy. Absolutely. But you got a TV show now. You're kicking ass.
Yeah. TV show, man. I mean, yeah, I'm certainly happy. Yeah, I mean, I love my job. Everything's great. But, I mean, I'm still like, as far as the comedy spectrum goes, you know, I'm still like.
You always want more.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be the guy, you know, I go to a club somewhere and maybe I have, you know, like an extra. I'm not selling out places.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We're not at the level where that's happening.
Yeah, but, I mean, when does that
ever happen?
I mean, even I guess if you're on, like Brad Garrett, when at the height of Everybody Loves Raymond, could probably sell out most places. You would think, but maybe not. Like maybe he goes to fucking Nashville,
good point.
And mm-hmm. they're like, "Fuck, who's this fucking Brad Garrett motherfucker?"
Right.
Like, you know, just
Brad Garrett.
Yeah.
He's a cop. He's not a comedian.
That's something like, actually.
You mean Raymond's brother? What in the hell? See, I didn't.
I don't
go see Raymond's brother. I want to go see Raymond. When Raymond's going to come to town?
Well, some people believe that sitcoms are real, too. Like, I'll call.
Oh, that's crazy.
When I remember I used to call home, my stepparents would be like, well, you know, Darm and Greg are doing this. And I'm like, you know that
like
they're
they were
not.
People.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they were updating on old classmates.
Yeah, I'm like, what's going on? Like, well, I don't know if you know, but Darm and Greg.
You know, Jerry and Elaine are dating.
Yeah.
You're like, the fuck? On NBC?
I mean,
what is that?
It's those crazy Winslows, they've got this neighbor that always comes over and fucks up their shit. I don't know. They got to put up a fence or a door lock or something.
He's always saying, did I do that? I think he's got autism.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Louisiana.
Yeah, man, I'm a Louisiana guy.
What is that like to grow up in? And how do you get to find that you're funny in Louisiana? Like, what about...
I mean, I was just such a meek child, I think. Just very, you know, just like such a meek little feeble child that, like, my best friend was the other skinniest kid at our school.
Oh, my God. So you guys, and like, toothpicks hanging
out. You guys saw each other across the lunchroom with your celery sticks and just kind of fucking held up like a white
Like,
pallet.
We had each other's backs, what there was of each other's back, you know? And we just became buddies. And then, like, yeah, I was just, like, the meekest kid. So if you can't fight, then you just got to, like, say really funny shit.
Yeah.
And then when people try to fight, you have to lay on the ground and kick at them. And that used to be, that was my move.
Wow. So did you get picked on a lot?
I mean, I was always start picking on people too. Like, I would say stuff.
You're
a
smart ass.
But yeah, I was a smart ass. So, like, I would make fun of, like, the, you know, the bullies or the idiot, you know.
That's awesome.
Just totally talking smack. And I was pretty good at that.
Like, what would you, like, give me an example of, like, if you can remember, like, a bully. First of all, that's how you get respect in the school. If you're going after the bully and you're half his size.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're just like, and people are laughing at the shit you're saying. Like, you're the fucking, you're in.
But I got beat up too and still want to shut up.
Yeah. That's me as well. Yeah.
Like, the guy just beating on me. I'm like, that all you got, pussy? Like, you know, I would just yell out, like, you're hitting a midget. I'm pretty sure that's a hate crime. He just keeps hitting me.
You have to, though. Like,
yeah.
What
like, what am I going
to
do? Fight back? I can't. Like, I can't physically beat him up.
Like, when I was a fat kid and they would make fun of me, like, I would be running around the bases during kickball, and one kid nicknamed me Jello Jiggler as
Ooh,
I was
I like
bouncing
that.
Around the thing, which we used,
oh, I can
which we
see that
which, yeah. we, which we've said yeah very very
wearing the exercise
the
t-shirt
the tight mesh sweatpants
yes yeah, sweaty hair
and like he would make fun of me so then I would grab my tits and start licking them as he was
good.
No, just kidding dude, no but like I'm saying I would like you have to go along with it
sure
and not just take it because that's how you a start to get that respect and also get stronger right from not just taking the abuse.
I guess, man. I was just, I mean, in our home, like, there was no unity between family. The only thing we did was make fun of each other, like, at home.
Nice.
There was never, like, it didn't matter if it was your birthday, the goal was to get other people to cry at dinner.
In a playful way, because everybody just generally hated each other.
Because everybody just generally hated each other.
Wow.
So it was just
war
like,
every night.
You had no choice
night.
But to be a comic.
Yeah, like, you had to just, right. like, and the best was if you get somebody to cry when they had a mouth full of food, because they can't swallow or really cry 100%, so they're just like,
they're just
and their
with
inability
their mouth
to swallow,
open.
Yes, it's just, and they have to keep their mouth open because they have to let the, you know, the crying sounds in and out, so like,
holy
that was
shit.
Like, so just, you know, being in kind of that environment is just constantly.
What's
just
the worst thing about
smack?
It sounds like maybe a spinoff from Deal with It. what's the worst food to be have a mouthful of while you're crying?
Oh, meat usually because it takes a while to chew it and you can't just like
you can't chew and cry, so you're constantly splitting the difference.
Yeah, yes, you're then constantly
the show's
splitting, the splitting the difference.
Then you got to do the sad chewing and that that's just not
Yo,
fun.
Theo,
for
you could host that show, man. We've got Bob. Bob, we're gonna get a plate full of mashed potatoes and Kobe beef, and we're gonna have you take two bites and then pull up some photos of your children who burned in that car fire in 2006. If you can finish that mouthful of Kobe beef in under 5 minutes, you're gonna win.
A
Jewish
dessert.
Midget.
A Jewish midget.
Come
fresh
out there.
From Brazil, a tan Jewish midget.
Tan Jewish midget, man. That's all
So you're totally okay with talking about being a little person?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine with it. And
okay.
You, let me say this.
Yeah.
A lot of people do dwarf jokes, and sometimes comics do them, and then they come to me like, hey, man, is that okay? Whatever. Like, I'll say this. The only midget jokes that offend me are bad midget jokes. And your album is called Little People versus Cats.
Yeah.
Which is just awesome.
Well, I saw two cats attack a little person in Hermosa, and that's just been on my heart ever since then, honestly.
And you wanted to, like, start a charity or something?
I didn't know what to do. I just felt, and I was like, are you okay? And he was just so busy fighting them off that there was no real...
Yeah, like maybe we should have like a Sarah McLachlan commercial with like midgets and like that's cats so just hopping on us. Yeah. I will remember you, fucking Tabby. But like you have like a 6 minute bit.
Yeah,
on, like on and like some people just do like maybe two dwarf jokes and then they lay off it. Like no, you kept the pedal to the metal and you just kept going. You twisted every joke out of that premise. Like, and as a dwarf comedian, I'm sitting there going, fuck, why didn't I write half of that shit? That was good. Anyone, just go up there and YouTube Little People versus Cats or just buy the damn album. And,
yeah, what is your album?
Album's on YouTube. It's on iTunes. It's just called Little People vs. Cats. And I mean, it's...
And your half hour special's on iTunes, right?
Yep, it's on iTunes. It doesn't have a name.
You gotta, if you haven't seen the to stand up, dude, you're like, not only is your delivery and your style and your writing great, but like I don't, some your wordplay with some shit, like we were just, will you pull up that
I got it right here.
I don't know how you, like the first time I saw you, I think was at the Improv, and you had I can't even remember the fucking joke, but it was like you, the way that you like kind of use some of these words and like the misdirection on stuff, I was just like, I didn't see anything coming, yet I was completely on board with what you were talking about, and it was just like
thanks, man.
Do you mind if we play a quick clip?
Yeah, it's a quick, yeah,
sounds good to me, man. It was killing time.
Something on television, it was like a public service announcement, you know, and it's like, you gotta help these kids, you know, and they show these kids and something's wrong with them, and it's like they're sewing pants for a penny a day in sweatshops, and I'm like, well, if they're sewing pants and they need help, like, why doesn't one of them sew a message for help into some pants?
Great idea.
It really is.
But knowing us in America, that would just be like a new fashion statement. Like, oh, do you like these new thirsty jeans?
True that.
This is the best one.
Oh, a lion ate my brother. Ed Hardy? No, Fed Hardly.
Oh, my God, dude. Harley, how does your brain fucking work to think of
it's
that?
It's just a bunch of rhyming. I mean, I'm more of just like a describer, I think, and like a rhymer and more of a word guy than I think I actually am a joke writer. You know, I'm up there just describing stuff to the end. Like,
yeah.
That's why I don't come up with a ton of premises. Like you said, I mean, I'm probably like, I mean, I've created like four premises about 10 years ago, and I'm still just writing jokes based off of them. Like, I refuse to write another premise.
Awesome.
I don't know if I know anymore. Like, all I know about is meeting gays for the first time, child molesters, seeing that fella get attacked by those cats, this dude masturbated on my arm in a movie theater the first time I ever went.
What?
On accident.
All right. Keep going. Like, to come back to that.
Wait, like a porn movie theater?
Or, no.
Okay, we'll go back to it.
And then I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, that's really
so you're
it.
Just trying to just squeeze the juice out of all those.
Well, yeah, I think, all I know about. Like every day I wake up, I don't think about anything else except for like those four or five things.
Well, I think the guy already squeezed the juice out in his arm, and that was the problem with it.
Brad, this is a kid show.
Oh, I'm
is
sorry.
It? No.
we're
Stephen Kramer Glick.
He will be.
There you
we're
go.
Trying to get that Disney audience.
Are you?
Yeah.
He's a wild child.
Yeah, dude, he's the king of the Disney fucking...
He's a wild child.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Stephen Kramer Glickman will be on this show, is a comic, and then he got a part on...
Big Time Rush.
Big Time Rush, which apparently is like...
Huge Disney
new,
channel
like,
hit.
Is bigger than Mickey Mouse.
It's crazy.
And now he's got hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers, and they're probably all under the age of 15.
He said he makes love to single moms around the country like a champion.
Okay.
See, now we all have to be Disney stars. Why can't my role
you
come
have the
back?
Best chance.
Yeah. I've already been on one Nickelodeon show. I was on something called Sam and Cat.
Oh, you could have been on that again.
Exactly. I mean, granted, my character didn't speak English, but whatever. They could bring me back.
How fucked up is that?
It's a little Russian.
It was. Like, they made me, they told me to make up a language. So I'm like there in the audition, cool. Like, it's bivak, uta vapelitste ku. And I'm saying shit like that, and they're like, oh, it's perfect. Like, and then like I got like messages on Twitter like, is that an actual language? Is that like the language of your people? Whatever, like, we don't have a fucking language. What do you think, like midgets just hang out and go, all right, all the tall people are gone. No, fuck you.
Oh shit.
All right. That's going in the act.
Dude, that is so funny, man.
That's great. Yeah. Sometimes when I see Japanese people, I'll like try to like make a sound and see if it's a word for them, you know? Like, I'll be like, tell me if this is something. I'll be like, who you? I'm like, that has to mean the girl baby died. It doesn't?
That's got to be the movie was great in some sort of a, like at night maybe. Maybe that's just a nighttime.
I can tell you.
I also like Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
I think I think like Germans kind of like that too, where you just have to sound angry.
Yes.
Where he's like, oh, that war dustaka, or something like that, and you're like, some German's like, I do not know why you're saying this to me.
Yeah.
Not know why you're insulting me in that nature.
Yo, another one of your premises that you've created into a fucking juggernaut is the crank texting stuff.
And yeah.
Dude, that's when we first started becoming chums, and you were like doing that. I think you were just getting going with that.
Yeah.
You guys are buddies
in England, chums. What the hell is that?
Chum, you know, you come over here, my mate right there.
Hey, chum is a very endearing term, man.
Good really day, like sir. Yeah.
Day with the crank texting, yeah. We're not right home. But yeah, that it's like...
Tell the audience first of all, your fascination with pranking people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just always like pranking people, I guess, just because, I mean, it probably goes back to just growing up in that house and just everybody just...
Would you prank your family?
Screwing with people all the time. You were screwing with everyone, you know? Like, I would prank everyone.
Because making somebody cry is not so...
I would turn the gas on, like, at school, like in our science class, and, like, leave it on over the weekend, you know? And like,
I don't know if that's a prank or attempted arson.
Whoa. Yeah. Detective Williams. But then we come back in on Monday and like, they would be like, all right, you know, we had to like, everybody had to leave out of the school in the morning. So they like, you know, figured out that it was just somebody left the gases on. And then like, so I was all fired up. I'm like, here we go. You know, this is the action, right?
Yeah. You get to see the payoff.
Right. And then they're like, who could have done this? Right. And I was always like, I think I saw someone like leaving the late in the afternoon. You're like a vague thing, you know?
Right.
And then like I'd get like a couple of shy kids and we'd all be in the office and like, and then the principal would leave and I'd be like, if you fucking did it, you better say something, dude, because I'm not going down with this bullshit, you know? And they'd be like,
Son of a woman shit.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, all right, sir, look, we'll all take one day of suspension just because obviously somebody here is guilty, but you know. And so I would like, and then that way I'd get a day off of school, I'd relax.
Dude, you
and these
the
other kids actually kind of boosted their street cred a little bit. What? You know?
So you took like the nerds and was like, hey man, yeah, you'll be sent home and you'll be suspended one day, but.
Yeah, but you come back tomorrow.
Respect.
Like, you're like, good at handy like in science.
You know? Yeah, it might be on fire, but it might be a steaming hand job.
You might get your Bunsen burned, brother, finally.
Did you like the Robin Hood of fucking taking losers to cool people?
I think, something like that, man. I mean, maybe in a way, you know, in just a dark way, though. You
right.
Know? Mm-hmm.
All right, so pranks
at
school.
Yeah, I like pranks. So then one day I get a random text message on my phone. It's from a person that I don't know, right? And they have the wrong number. And
at what point had texting been around? Had this
was 5 years ago.
Okay.
And so this girl says, hey, it's Wanda. And I was like, Wanda who? And she's like, duh, Wanda, your cousin. And I don't even have any cousins, right? Both my mother's was the only child. My father's siblings got off in '50s from the war. And actually, one of them got eaten by sharks. Ironically. What happened was I was like, holy shit, maybe I want a cousin. You know, maybe Obama's got the new, like, you get a cousin program, right?
Look under your chairs. You get a cousin. You get a cousin. Everybody gets a cousin.
Wait, was that Obama doing Oprah? Like, he delivers that you get a cousin as Oprah.
Yes, exactly.
Or did he bring in Oprah for it?
Or then you have, Kermit the Frog comes in.
You get a cousin. Everybody gets a cousin. Yay!
Wow.
Everyone's happy, especially the people in Arkansas. What?
Okay.
Heck, the joke, state's whatever. Depleted. They had to fucking all sign up for this. It was like the draft. Yeah. They need cousins. I'm a cousin. I'm a cousin. Shit. I'm it. So then anyway, I text her back. I was like, what's up, girl? You know, and she and I texted her for like 6 months, you know, and then I had like a new god nephew named Damari, and like life was beautiful.
So you didn't even hesitate to get involved in the conversation.
Yeah, I was like, this is great. Like, you know, I have something to do. Like, I was out on the road a lot. I was like, I have something to do. And so then I just took my number and went up like 200 digits, the next 200 numbers, and just texted all of them. Like, the same. My number ends in 0167. I texted 0168 all the way up through like, you know, 0368 or whatever, 200 numbers, and said, hey, it's Allison. And so then somebody writes back, like, Allison so-and-so from blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
everybody knows an Allison.
Right.
Yeah.
And some guy was like, and I was like, yup. And he's like, hey, I'm going to be in town tomorrow night. Why don't I come over and bring over some wine, right?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, that's a great idea.
You said the booty calls.
Yeah. And I was like, why don't you bring over some tacos and a couple bags of ice? You know, let's do this, you know?
By the way, not all of them were probably that nice of softball love. Some of them were like, Allison, huh? I've been looking for you, bitch.
Right,
like,
yes. You know, some of them are crazy. Some of them are like, you know, 95% of them go to end up in nothing, okay, you know, cool. confusion. Mm-hmm. And so, but then, like, next thing you know, this guy goes over to this girl's place, and he's got tacos and ice. So at least if it was going to be a rape, there's going to be, like, a little party first, you know? But, I mean, and then, like, she doesn't live there anymore, apparently, because I don't know either one of them. Okay, you know?
So you say, bring over this, and then he texts you, hey,
I'm here, just knocked on your door. Do you still live in the same unit number? I'm a little confused. Yeah. He's like, hey, I'm on the fourth floor. Thought I just met your roommate, because he leaves me voicemails. Then he's like, hey, I'm out in the car. I guess you fell asleep. I'll give you a buzz tomorrow.
Wait, he's leaving you voicemails. Is your outgoing message like, hey, it's... Oh, okay, it's so blank. It's just that you've reached this number?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
So then I was like, oh, this is great. So then I just started texting thousands and thousands of numbers. I mean, I've texted 40,000 numbers on my phone.
Holy shit.
I'm in an art discussion with this girl right now, I texted. And I said, hey, what's up, right? And then so she goes, I don't know who you're looking for, but this is Deanna and a female phone, so I'm guessing you have the wrong number. This is a new thing where I text people, and then I tell them I didn't text them, right? So then I write back, what are you talking about, lady? She goes, I got a text from your phone saying, hey, brother, I was just letting you know you must have the wrong number. I said, you need to chill with all that bullshit. I never texted you. So then she doesn't respond, right? So 2 days later, I write, did you hear me? I never texted you. Then why are you texting me now? I said, I'm just letting you know so you can get your facts straight. She goes, okay, ? I said, all right, here, just try and know who you are texting from now on. I suggest using a contacts app or a Rolodex if you have an old one. Also, maybe keep a call log by your phone.
Shots fired.
She goes, let's use common sense. How did I get your number in the first place? Because somebody texted me from your number and I texted it back. It might not have been you who texted me from your phone, but somebody sure did. I don't even know where your area code is from, nor do I know anyone who has that area code. So we agree, neither of us know each other, so just stop texting. I said, I'm not texting you, idiot. And now you are saying that I texted your number completely out of the blue for no reason. That's erroneous. As I kindly suggested, nice. 1, keep a call log and write down what calls you make. 2, get a contacts app to keep your contacts updated. 3, old school Rolodex. Your parents or grandparents may have one. And a bonus idea is let a friend or family number know who you call.
Holy shit.
And so anyway, this
use
is
the word erroneous because it definitely makes you sound smarter.
So this is still going on right now, so we'll see where it ends. But I would just, so many conversations. I would text numbers in Mississippi and Louisiana and Alabama and say we're having Civil War reenactments who wants to be in them, and people submitting photos and for the Battle of Shiloh that never even existed in the first place.
Oh, God. Dude, and like at any time, like especially in that last one we're reading, these people could just stop.
Yes.
They could just not respond to you.
But lonely. We all want a little bit of human connection.
I was just going to say, I think that's where a lot of people staying actively into it. Like that girl might have nothing going on.
Right.
And that's like, her getting some beef with you is now something to talk about for 2 weeks.
Right.
To somebody. Yeah. Now she has a reason to call Diane, who she hasn't seen in 6 years, because she's like, you're never going to believe what happened. You know,
this guy just texted me.
I mean,
and if you Google my number, there's so many complaints against it. It's absolutely
insane. Get like in, you can't get in trouble with the law with this guy.
I don't think so. I was in a relationship for 6 months with a man.
Pranking
who thought
is
I was,
illegal.
Pranking's illegal.
Wait, what? You were in a relationship for
with
6 months?
With a man for 6 months who thought I was just stuck in a mental health facility in Shawnee, Oklahoma, and I could only text.
What the fuck?
I can't even tell you the things I've been through, the journeys I've been down. I mean, I had a guy who offered to get rid of my girlfriend's baby. I've had a man offer to buy guns and grenades on Easter, and I had to bring over tear gas to his place and check it out. And
Theo, you got to write a book.
Well, I mean, what? Yeah,
you got to write. You have to do an audio book. Are you kidding me? You have just referenced 6 different stories that I would like to hear the entire beginning to end of.
Right.
An audio book, huh, about it?
Yes, dude.
Audiobook.
Are you kidding me? Audiobooks are the shit. That's it. Dude, Saget's new books, Fitzsimmons, Tina Fey, because they're doing it. And your fucking voice and delivery on these stories is what makes it great. Reading them would be great, too. But hearing you do it, you for sure got to do it.
As we know, reading's for losers, so we got to do the audiobook.
but it's just much more entertaining. It's in the podcast realm. I mean, if you just set up and you have a little bit of music behind like each story, like the mental health one, like even as if you're like like those old school fucking radio plays.
Right.
That's kind of, I'm telling you, man.
I mean, yeah, maybe a good audio book, and we'll just put it all into one book.
Yes.
I mean, right
like
now,
like six
they
stories,
find
and
them.
You have volume one, and then you see how that does, and you save, you know, and then as you keep doing
I have a thousand conversations.
That's what I'm saying. You, maybe you put like six on the first one, because that's like so that you can really like maybe one
get
story
the cat
is
hard.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe one story is 30. Maybe it's maybe one's an hour. But
yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and but before you have the book out, they are all available on the website. What Cranktext?
Yeah, most of them are Cranktext.com. I mean, a lot of them are on there, and you know, I update it usually like every probably week and a half.
Oh, so you're still doing this?
I'm still doing it, but I also have tons from my old. I had an old website, and then the new website is now mobile,
right.
So you can share it. So like, I'm just re-pushing them over there, but it takes a long time to do. It's like I don't have, you know.
Yeah,
I gotta hire somebody to do some of it, and it gets expensive.
Now you're hosting a fucking show. You can't.
Yeah, it's hard, man.
Now when you're sort of involved that much in pranking, is that sort of how you get involved with Howie Mandel and the whole
yep that was
deal
exactly
with it thing?
I'd done this pranking for 4 years to no like fiscal avail, and then
right you're just doing it for fun, right?
Yeah, and I was hosting this show for Yahoo like a daily show, and the next thing you know they brought me in, and those two worlds kind of collided, and then I had a job hosting a pranking show.
And
so it's funny, the things you think that aren't gonna pay off or don't have an end
right
do, you know?
Yeah, so that, I mean,
because you were just doing
shows
it
people.
For your own enjoyment.
Right. I was doing it, hopefully. I mean, we tried to but sell it as a show one time.
Yeah, something in the back of your head knew that, like, you had a knack for what you were doing, and that was definitely an original thing that you were doing, and that there's a use for it in some regard. Because the entertainment value,
I mean, was there.
Yeah, because I'm sure every person you told, like what you just did us, probably responded the same way, when you probably pick up on that to be like, all right, there's got to be an avenue for this.
Yeah, there's got to be something there, you know? And this thing takes a lot of time. Like, sure, you can do a lot of these other prank things where you get a couple of lines and stuff like that, but this took, I mean, some of these conversations, would, you know, took many, many months. I mean, I'm still fielding constant. I'm involved in so many different facets of people's lives.
Real quick, the guy in the mental hospital, when you had to break it off with him.
He's a bag boy at Ralph's, man. I'll rat this this cat.
Wait
out.
A minute, but what? How 6 months, dude? Like,
I'm trying to think of how it ended, man. It ended.
Save it for the book. Save it for the fucking.
Yeah, I'll save it for the book, man. It'll be out there.
But that's incredible. So Howie Mandel must have, because he's known for being a giant prankster.
Yeah, that guy loves to prank.
He must have thought what you were doing was
crazy money, and he loves to prank. So I mean, he bought like he's had some crazy pranks. I've heard, you know.
So how do you even meet him, and what's that mean?
First I met the people who had bought the concept from an Israeli show. They bought the concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same production company that made Homeland for Deal With It is the show.
Wow.
And so then
that's kind of opposite ends of the spectrum.
Crazy, right? I think that's like their two hit shows was Deal With It and Homeland.
It's amazing. Quite a resume.
Yeah. And then next thing you know, like this Howie and this other production company got the rights to it. And then I didn't meet Howie until the first day of production. I just met his assistants and his partners.
Okay.
And it was a little weird, but I mean, I had a bunch of stories to tell because of this crank texting, and everything was chill. And I think I just interviewed like some cool people for Yahoo, like Aaron Paul or something. So I had like just some fun stories to tell. Yeah. So I probably seemed hip.
There you go.
And that was it.
And then this show, Deal With It, for those who aren't watching the show.
Second season, get ready to come back.
In the fall?
Yeah, we just got to pick up an additional 10 episodes for our second season.
Great, dude.
Awesome. And this is not your average prank show, hidden camera prank show, because the people doing the pranks are not actors or not celebrities.
Right, no.
They're people.
Yeah, they're just straight up street thugs and regular people.
Which is, to me, always the best route to go.
Yeah.
Because if somebody, you're going to get the most honest reactions, and the situation is always going to seem plausible because
it's plausible.
Real people don't know how to
do anything,
turn it up.
Yeah.
And make it seem not. Like, I remember I saw one. Well, explain, like, so what happens, basically.
So, say it's, like, you and Brad go into a restaurant, and the...
Dude,
the,
we're already on season 2. I like this.
The valet comes in and says, oh, that would be funny to have both you guys in, huh?
Incredible. Are you kidding me?
Hopefully, they'll let me have some more, you know, comics and friends in. I mean,
maybe we're gay lovers.
To the point.
I'll squeeze that ass for TV.
Why not?
I mean...
Done it for free.
Or you could just be yourselves and just...
Or yeah. Well, I mean, which is gay lovers, so it's fine.
I mean, feel you, bro.
Listen, don't judge, man. Hey, that's one more thing from your the first time you meet gay people, babe, that you can squeeze a little more out of. Hey, guys, you ever seen a Jew grab a midget's ass before? I've done it, and it was very sensual.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that shit.
I hit the craps table right after.
That's what this crackhead said one time. I was with a buddy of mine, and we saw this crackhead, and my buddy was making fun of him, and this dude walked up, man, like a man, and looked my buddy in the eyes, and he said, I am a crackhead. He said, but don't knock it till you rock it, bro. That's what he said to him, straight up.
Don't knock it. And he uses a pun.
Yeah, and he uses a pun.
With the rocket part.
I didn't think about that.
Reverencing
yeah,
crack.
Don't knock it to
or maybe
you
he, or maybe he was wearing a rock t-shirt.
Who knows?
That's true.
All right, so Brad and I go into a restaurant.
So you guys go into a restaurant, and the valet comes up and says, Brad, we couldn't park your two-seater motorcycle. It won't start, right?
Okay.
And you're like, oh shit, okay. You're like, I'll come out there. So Adam, you're sitting at the table ordering water or whatever.
We're in cahoots together, right?
No, you guys have no clue that you're on a prank show.
So you're saying we're the people who are on being pranked.
Yes, you guys are the people that are being pranked. So you come in, and then Brad, you walk out, and you're the valet. You're like, what? And then the valet's like, come over here, and that's where I am with a celebrity guest. And we're like, hey, Brad, do you want to be on a game show right now for $5,000? We're gonna put an earpiece in your ear. You can go back out. We're gonna start telling you things to do. The more you do, the more money you make. But if Adam finds out you're on a prank show at all, then the game is over. So you got to do the stuff, but you got to keep it cool enough and normal enough where it doesn't seem crazy. It can seem crazy, but he can't realize it's a show.
Right.
And you can't admit it. You can't get to a point to where you feel bad for your friend.
You can say, I can't deal with it, and the game will end, and you keep what you've earned. But most people want to push their luck, you know? So that's the game right there, and then we just start telling you things to do.
And it's so fucking incredible to watch because, like, you see some of these couples. You guys do a lot of couple stuff.
Yeah, a lot of couples, and we'll be like, all right, now you have to tell your husband that the baby isn't his, right?
And they push each other. Some of these dudes like want that money, and like the girl's walking out and hitting him, and he's like, and you're cutting back to you being like, stay in it, motherfucker. Yeah. Don't deal with this shit.
I know you got
to
stay in there, playboy.
And they do, and it's just amazing. And I love the concept because, like you say, you take someone that didn't know that they were going to be on a game show.
Right.
They didn't leave the house and they didn't hint anything. They haven't dropped any notes that this might be set up. And all of a sudden, when they come back from the bathroom or the whatever,
they're on a game show.
They're on a game show.
And you go from zero to game show like that.
And they have to make that work. I saw a clip. You had Tom Green on. Mm-hmm. And you got a girl that's out to dinner with just one of her girlfriends getting boxes of used men's underwear delivered to the table, and Tom Green's like, all right, now sniff them and enjoy it. And this woman like pulls out the underwear and goes, oh, I love underwear. And you're like, the friend's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Meanwhile, Tom Green was smelling my dick just to go along with the scene, you know, just to be in the moment. You know, he's a method actor.
Your dick is in my face. Your dick is in my face.
But yeah, crazy. That same day, actually, we had a father-daughter, and we're like, all right, now you have to tell the daughter that you're going to be leaving the mother, right?
Oh my God.
And the dad, and he can say, I can't
deal with
it.
That's where we're at as a country, by the way. Yeah. Where we want to watch that, and the dad's like, how much money?
And then we're like, all right, touch your chin if you want to keep playing. He touched his chin. We're like, oh shit, this is about to get awkward, you know? And I have my Bible with me during that one. It was because this is breaking down.
Here's why you're a great host for this, too, because the ins and outs of pranks, you've also seen the worst case scenario in some of these things. So you also have a I feel like you can't ever get too, like, that's a pretty sensitive situation,
right?
But you just fucking were in a 6-month relationship with a mental health patient,
right?
So you know, you've seen crazier shit to where you're like, I can facilitate through any situation,
right? I've been down these roads.
Almost like doing crowd work. When you first start doing it, you have to, like, you know, the first time I feel like I took a turn with crowd work and got really good was when I was doing a holiday show at the Ice House, and I was like, happy holidays, and this one woman right off the bat goes, bah humbug, and I was like, oh, what's got you down so quickly? And she's like, my husband passed away during the holidays last year. I'm a widow with 4 kids. Right off the bat, I just kind of pause and go, thanks for bringing the show down right off the bat. And then that got a big laugh. And then, like, I talked to her for a little bit and, like, worked through it. And the crowd was on my side because it was so weird.
Right.
Yeah. And then by the end of it, I kept being like, well, you know what? You're going to find somebody else. And she kept, and then she goes, like, no, you know, I'm fine. I've been trying to get back. I was like, yeah, fuck it. Easy. You had your moment. All right. Like, but it was like, but I've been through so much shit to where I was like, all right, I can handle this.
I can handle these things.
That's how it is for you. Yeah, and also your rapport with the comedians is great, and that's essential for that part of it, because like when you had Bobby Leon and Carolla, you can tell you guys have some camaraderie.
Yeah, it definitely helps easier with comedians. Like sometimes we're sitting there with like some celebrities that I don't know, that Howie Mandel, because he's there every day.
Jenner's.
Yeah, like Jenner's, bro. The freaking older one. Wow, dude. The little one kind of reminded me of like a little Muppet, but the older one, bro. Wow.
Wait a minute.
The most beautiful girl that God ever made, I think, man.
Good Lord.
The older one, you mean?
Kendall.
This is
the 18-year-old.
Yeah, this is Kardashian's half-sisters.
The little one seemed like an accessory of hers, kind of. But here's why, though.
Like a keychain?
She's younger.
Right.
She's quieter.
Mm-hmm.
Or in this environment she was. And Kendall's older. She's a little bit more experienced. And she's just very, like, the probably
yeah, man. She seemed pretty down. God. She seemed DTF, man. I don't know if that's true, man.
Wait,
makes it sound cool.
All good, man. Now, because they aren't necessarily actresses and not necessarily, and then certainly not comedians.
Not necessarily.
Jesus.
I'm Kardashians.
They're not fucking anything.
Wow. Okay. Been through Stella Adler's training.
But how is that with them? Like, did they have problems telling people to do crazy shit, or were they all about it?
They lost. The older one really got into it, and the younger one just kind of seemed like she's just been on this. Like, you know, I don't know. I think the older one kind of gets that they're in the entertainment business and that this is their livelihood now.
Okay.
And that they need to master, you know, or take advantage of every moment. I think the older one actually seems like that, Kendall. And then the younger one seemed a little bit just kind of whatever by it, you know. I mean, she's still a 16-year-old. At 18, you're still a teen, but maybe... But that's the thing about the older one. She just seems like she gets like, oh, this is such a great opportunity in the world. Like, not this particular TV show, but every opportunity.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And then I think I heard you say in an interview that they actually, like, went out and started
yelling. Oh, yeah, they went out and actually started yelling at, or, like, because during the thing, one of the people in the show, one of the contestants said, yeah. I'm crazy, but I'm not, like, a Kardashian, but I'm not slutty like one. That's what somebody said in the show.
Wow. And the person being pranked.
Yes.
Not the person with the earpiece.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so then they're both sitting there like, we have to go. Like, we have to find a way to get into the scene now.
Yeah,
so
we got
to
defend our
family.
They
went out and sat out at the table, and it was like, and then you just see this the black girl who was like, had no clue what was going on. You
That's
see her
awesome.
Face
That's
like,
great TV.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. It was fun.
I mean, that's the type of those are the type of real moments that we're going to need in our pitch for Splitting the Difference.
Yeah, dude, I like it, man.
I mean, have you ever had? Did you ever have any contestants where it got insane where you weren't like allowed to air?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we had a couple of African American couple. Sometimes I call it a black couple, and okay, we had them sit down, and And so we get the woman back behind the scenes, and she seems a little out of it and stuff, but she's ready to go. And we send her back out, and then we're like, all right, for $250, you need to say this, you know?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the black guy, her friend, had been looking through her phone, and it was obviously a pimp and prostitute situation.
Oh,
right then,
shit.
Immediately, I see it, right? I'm like, boom, I see what's going on. Yeah. And he's like, oh, you've been fucking with Fredericks? First of all, who has Frederick plural, right, as their first or only name?
That's
oh, you've been
name.
Fucking with Frederick, son?
It's like what, Fredericks of Hollywood?
Yeah.
Like,
say something, right? Just daring this woman to say something like
Holy
he's going to punch
shit.
Her, right? Because he has no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
And the woman, it's like, for $250, you need to use applesauce in a sentence, right?
Awesome.
And
who says
huh? this? Whoever was with you, I'm trying to think who it was that day.
Bob Saget.
I don't even remember. It may have been Rich Eisen actually was there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, his didn't air yet. It might still air, but
that's
I don't
awesome.
Know. But we're like, finally, I'm like, yeah, we gotta. This is if she says applesauce, that's the only thing she's gonna be able to eat for the rest of her life.
Right.
Right.
Like yeah, it's not gonna work. But then at the same time, you know that she's gonna do that because you're saying for $250, she's like, wait, use applesauce in a sentence. I just have to suck a dick for $250. This is way easier. I'm down.
But we had to pull the plug just because somebody could get hurt.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah,
you hear
yeah.
about those stories with punks too. That like, I mean, there was a time I guess Steve Ranzisi was saying that like, he was punking A-Rod and doing this whole thing where he was like hitting on A-Rod's girl and like and then being like suggestive that he'd like hooked up with her, and I guess A-Rod fucking like pulled him close and was like, you better fuck him, like ease up real quick, man, it's just gonna get fucking, and they couldn't air it because like, and then they afterwards they and they kept telling Ranzisi to stay in it and be like, don't fucking get out of there, man, like
yeah.
I clock you, and then at the end he was like, hey, you're punked, I'm just kidding, man. And A-Rod was like, the fuck, man. And he was like, you want to even sign this real quick? And he was like, eat a dick, man, no way. Why would I want that to be on TV?
Yeah. And they didn't end up airing it.
Wow.
But I mean, I guess what's the line with how far you get to where, I guess we just talked about it, but I mean, you always want to hope that it doesn't get too crazy so you can air it, right?
Right, I guess so. I mean, there's times when I'm like, I feel like we could make our way through this one, you know. But sometimes it's weird. They'll air on this
the
side.
The balancing act. Because you probably, like, with that pimp and the, like, you're like, all right, well, how could we be not as crazy and still with this air? But you want to, it's like gambling. You're like, fucking, if I double down here and, like, we get a little bit, one more great TV moment.
You one know? More great TV moment. But then the executives are there, and they're always, like, thinking about, like, insurance and that kind of stuff. Some things I'm not thinking about.
That's
know?
A problem. Dude, well, as well
yeah, I'll leave at the end of the day.
Yeah. But also, like, you should only be concerned with, like, trying to get the best funny out of it.
And, right. And we have a good time. I mean, we have a lot of good time with the guests that they don't really show on the show. Like, you know, that's just such a blast. So, I mean, it's been cool, man. It's been a great time. Being around Howie Mandel is great. You know, he's just such an interesting man. So,
well, sure. He's a guy that made a living doing comedy, and his big bit was putting a glove on his head and, like, blowing it up. And and he turned that into an amazing career. So you're like, yeah, this guy is good. Now, he's a great salesman. Yeah.
He can tell you, I mean, jokes, buildings. He can. Mm-hmm. And he also was an actor for a long time with Denzel Washington and what was that?
I'll pull it up.
I can't even remember what it is right now. Mm-hmm. St. Elsewhere. That's what it was.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, it was like a little bit right. It was during our time, but we were young.
Do you talk comedy with him ever, too? Because, like, that's a guy that's like, I mean, used to be, I mean, Tonight Show, and I mean, just has been around and done so much. Like,
right now he's doing like the Mirage once a month, and like, yeah, selling out. Like, he's at that sort of level.
I mean,
wasn't
he? I mean, he came to the Comedy Store with Letterman and Roseanne and Pryor, right? I mean, like,
he'll tell some stories. I mean, you know, I'll ask him about things. He has so many stories. I think he just even forgets about some of it, you know. But like, we went to the Upfronts recently, and which was mm-hmm. pretty cool because I got to ride on this charter jet with, like, CeeLo, Steve Carell was on there.
Shut the fuck up.
Ned Stark from Game of Thrones.
Right. Now, for those that aren't in the industry, explain what the Upfronts are.
It's like this thing where you go to, like, to New York, and they show, like, a network shows off, like, their entertainers to advertisers.
And say, like, hey, this is what we got this year.
Yes, this is what's going to be on. And they show, like, these big pitches, kind of, or big packages, and then, like, the CEO will get up and talk about the network and what they're doing that fall or that spring.
Wow, that's
and it was pretty cool, man. I thought it was just going to be like me and Howie and like some people from our show, you know,
yeah. Right?
And but it was like I get on and I'm like, whoa, there, you know, like there's all like these famous, like I sat next to this lady who was in the
commercials.
Kevin Costner when he was like taking over for the Indians back in the day, like the land.
Oh, Dances with Wolves.
Who was the love interest in that?
By the way, I hope that was the original pitch for the movie. It's Kevin Costner. He's taking over land from some dogs and shit.
Yeah, you know it's happening.
What are we gonna call it? I don't know. Fucking
Boogies with Pugs.
Boogies with Pugs.
All right. I like where your head's at. Maybe if we streamline it just a little bit.
Maybe if it's wolves, something a little more dangerous.
I don't know. I kind of like Boogies with Bugs.
All right.
That's going to work out.
So that was it, man. So that was just, you know, like, yeah, it was Mary McDonald's the lady's name. But anyway, like, I didn't, you know, and there was all these just, like, you know, talented actors and actresses and people that I didn't know. And it was, because I don't watch any television, but it was very interesting.
And so when you get there and the advertisers, what are they watching for? Like, is it like heads of like Radio Shack and Quiznos and fucking.
I guess it is. You never actually
meet them.
Harry
plays Adam Ray Shops. These are the two places I've been trying to get sponsorship from since I got into the comedy game.
He's just naming this off like Radio Shack, Quiznos. Was the CEO of Pop-Tarts there?
Dude, all I want is free batteries and free broccoli cheddar soup.
That's a very simple man. Yeah, he does that.
Come on, man. He's Beefaroni. Hey, Chef Bardi, if you're listening, man, I got an opening.
Sponsor this podcast. Yeah. I mean, now it's always like it's hard enough to get a show on the air and get involved in the show. Now you have a season two.
Yeah,
like,
dude. Yeah, we actually got a second order for our season
How
two.
Pumped
so this
are
is
you?
Actually almost like a season three. It's I'm super excited, you know. Like I don't get way excited about things, I guess, but I'm you know, I just feel like really thankful, really grateful. I'm happy to have, you know, food. I'm happy to, you know, work. Not have debt. I'm happy to have a job.
And a job that's dope, man. It's not a sellout job. It's not something where you're also being a host. It's a very fine line, like, because we were talking about this, of being like a talking head and just setting up rules for
a show. I'm a facilitator. Yeah. Like, yes. I thought, like, as a comedian, you want to be the center of attention, you know? And that is not this job.
You see some guys that just go host a show like a Supermarket Sweep, and they're just fucking, their only opportunity to be funny is PC banter, being like, I saw you get all that coffee, Jared. Hopefully you got enough toilet paper at home. You know, which, by the way, if you're listening, Creators of Supermarket Sweep, I'll host that show at the drop of a hat.
So good. I met that host one time.
Really? Was it
some
Wink?
Weird audition?
Wink Martindale, was that his name?
What the fuck? Drink nine remember. If you're playing at home. For the first Wink Martindale reference in the history of show business.
I think his name was Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale. Look that up
that
right
is
now.
Not a real
if
name.
You're right, I'm buying you.
Is that a Native American name? Oh, yeah. He was the third lead in Dancing with Wolves.
I think that was the name of like a dancer in a Cirque du Soleil show that used to blow all the staff. Did you get a Wink Martindale last night? I sure did, man. Twice during the backflips.
Twink Martindale is a gay person that does the same thing. Do you know, and my favorite stat of any comedian is that Kirk Fox was in The Patriot.
What?
He was?
Yeah.
We had him on this podcast, and we thought we thought the best Kirk Fox stat was that he dated Clint Eastwood's daughter.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Which one?
I don't know. I don't know.
We were like, did you just do it just to get close to Clint? He's like, oh, yeah. I was just trying to become friends with Clint, you know? And what was the line he said? He just wanted to hear Clint say, what was the line?
Make my day. I don't know. Go ahead, punk.
There's something about my daughter. I don't know.
Go ahead, make my daughter.
Yeah.
A baby.
Yeah. David.
Make my grandson.
Go ahead. David Rupecht. David, right. That's...
Well, who's Wink Martindale? Let's get to the bottom of this.
That sounds like a rabbi that touched you. Are you sure that's a real person?
Wink Martindale.
Wait, somebody touched Brad outside the school playground and goes, hey, if anybody ever tells you this, his real name was like Jeffrey Goldblum. And he was like, if anyone tells you who this was, you say Wink Martindale touched you. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, Wink Martindale was...
Don't say it casually, like it's still not absolutely insane.
Okay, I'm trying to. He hosted Trivial Pursuit, the game show.
That. I mean,
and the Lifetime quiz show Debt. He has a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame,
wow.
Motherfucker.
All right, well, I take everything back.
Me too.
Yeah, Wink Martindale. Look up his damn Wikipedia, then talk to me.
I'd love to have that career.
Jesus, I know. What do you got to do to get a star on the Walk of Fame?
Apparently host a Lifetime game show.
Apparently wink at the male execs when you go in the room. Yeah, I guess.
There you go. Well, that's probably how I got the nickname.
Did you think that your first, was Road Rules your first taste of, like, TV and all?
Yeah, Road Rules. I was just going to college, and then they had auditions on our campus. And I auditioned one year, and I didn't get it. And then the next year, I switched to a different college, and they had auditions there.
Oh, so like, this guy's new. You're like, nah, I've done this before. I'm a seasoned pro.
Is it nice to be at a point to? And I want to talk about that stuff for a minute because Road Rules, Real World was fucking, at that time, probably the biggest thing on television.
It was fun, man. I mean, I honestly, for a while, like, I remember there were times where I would go out, like, at places, and you would literally just be, like, surrounded by people and mobbed. Like, it was crazy. This is before they really had camera phones, kind of. This was in, like, 2000.
And it was the first taste of reality shows, really, right?
Yeah. I mean, they'd been on the air for about 5 or 6 years.
Real World was the original
taking
one.
Average people... and just making that and giving you a chance to, like, have, and I think that's why you stood out, because fucking you had this hilarious background, and you were bringing more
to be funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was, you know,
what was
it crazy,
process?
But you had no money. That was the thing. Like, you were way popular, but I mean, I was at the bus stop. I mean, you were getting recognized by everybody at the fucking bus stop. Like,
did you capitalize?
I mean, over the years, I can't even tell you the insane scenarios that I've been in or went through.
Go.
Like, just
lots of bus stop sex.
That's another audiobook.
I mean, the things that occurred over the years.
Wait, what's the audition process like?
The audition process was like, you first went to, like, a bar or something that they had. I think they did, like, 8 college campuses a year, and they would, you know, you could come from anywhere, and then they just had, you'd wait at the bar in line, and they would sit you at a group table, almost like this,
mm-hmm.
you know, with enough seats for maybe 8 or 10 people, and somebody would field a question, like a producer would be like, okay, what do you feel like about same-sex marriages? And you would just go around the table, and everybody would kind of say what they thought, and you could rebuttal to people or whatever if you wanted to, I guess, and then mm-hmm. it took literally 4 minutes, and then that was it.
Wow.
And then if you did good or they liked something about you, then as everybody was leaving, somebody would tap you on the shoulder and say, here, go fill out this packet. And it was like the biggest packet you've ever seen. I swear mm-hmm. to God, it was like the grapes of packet. Right?
And by the way, packet, Michael McDonald from Mad TV, and who was in the heat with me, called Brad his little packet.
Yeah,
really?
So that's like a new nickname for dwarves is packet.
just had to call it sweet.
It is sweet. It was very interesting.
It's my sugar packet. It's my sour packet.
Exactly.
Who doesn't like the best things comes in packets? You know, ketchup, mustard, honey, barbecue sauce. Awesome things come in packets.
Yeah, you're in good company.
Makes sense.
All right. So
that was in the next thing you know, you have all these different rounds that you go through, and like you're doing interviews like where you're recording yourself with therapists on the phone, and you have to mail the tape in.
Oh, shit.
And then you have to go to a regional interview where you just drive to somewhere, you know, within a couple states or a state or two. And you
I'm
have to,
guessing they do a background check on you, too.
Yeah, and they'll do background checks. And
like,
then
how many people have you made cry with food in their mouths?
Yeah, probably. I don't even remember the things that I was saying, dude. I remember walking into a hotel. hotel there when they had regionals, and it was like, this was like the fifth interview, and then I was like, man, it smells like black people in this hallway, right? That's what I said when I was walking down the hallway, because this hotel was all black people worked and stayed at it. It was like in a black area, right? Mm-hmm. And it definitely smelled like black people, like sweet bread, you know? And I remember
that makes it better.
Seeing their faces like light up to like a millionth degree, and I wasn't being like oh man, this fucking smells like black, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, man, it smells like black people in here, doesn't it?
But like in a positive way, like you said, like sweet bread.
I grew up around black people. Like they smell like a couple different things. Just like white people smell like two things.
That's the thing too.
Wet dogs is always one of them.
That's the thing too about your delivery and who you are, man. Like anytime you say something like that, it never comes off to me as ignorant or racist or anything like that, because it's just like, you can tell that's coming from your...
It's sweet.
How you say it.
It's sweet and genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just what it was. It just really smelled like black people in there. Like, I mean, like heavily, too. And
like, holy shit, is the Source Awards happening down the hall?
Yeah.
Well, sweet bread might be a better way to describe it.
Yeah, dude. All right, you know, way racist, bro.
Whatever.
Jesus Christ.
Trying to tag on.
But yeah, but you can probably say it.
Yeah, exactly.
As you're on the ground getting kicked.
Yeah, sure, why not?
But anyway, so I saw their eyes light up then, and then I realized, like, oh, okay, you can kind of push some buttons with these people, you know?
Well, that's what they like, probably.
Right, so then I kind of monitored that through the end of it. And then also, I'd just never been anywhere. I mean, I'd never been anywhere. I didn't know. I mean, they had a group at our school growing up called Wham. It was Whites Against Mexicans.
Oh,
and we used to beat up this one.
Fuck?
We didn't have any Mexicans. But it was like six kids, and we beat up this one Asian kid who, just because
he was the closest thing he had to a Mexican.
He was the closest thing we had to a Mexican.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
But, we, you know, it was fun. I mean, it was just kids.
You travel. So, Road Rules, explain a bit. Real world, everybody lived in the house. But
Real world, everybody lives in the house. Road Rules, you live in a camper, man. And it's fun. I mean,
and you travel the country doing challenges.
Yeah, doing weird stuff. Just crazy. Easy games, you know,
and they pitch you against each other, and there's the competition element.
And you'd play like people that they had just started the internet then, kind of. So you'd like get an online team you had to play against, and we were like,
Lord,
like, everybody's curious about that. And one interesting fact, man, the most interesting thing about the Road Rules experience was they used to have this guy called the Roadmaster, and every week we would get this video every couple days, and we'd put it in, and he would tell us, or a DVD or whatever, and he would tell us what's next. And it was like this kind of Max Headroom kind of face, you know, like, distorted, and was like this voice,
right?
And the person who did that, it was one of an early gig that he had in town. It was Dwight Schrute was our roadmaster.
Rainn Wilson?
Yeah. How crazy is
no
that?
No shit.
That's pretty
wow.
Cool.
That's an incredible stat. That's a great piece of trivia.
It's crazy. So that's probably the whole, like, overall, that was the craziest thing that came out of it. And then I made one a good friend named James, who just had his wedding this weekend in West Virginia that I just went to. So
I was going
to
say,
so cool.
Do you keep in touch with anybody from that experience?
Not really.
Just James?
Not really. Just James, maybe like two other people. But it started to get like the challenge and stuff started to get where like girls were fighting, and I didn't want to be associated with any of that.
Oh, yeah, that's a real world Road Rules challenge.
Yeah. So when they started doing the competition shows,
yeah.
You've got to feel. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, you look at the cast, and I would say a good majority of the people that were on those shows, they want to parlay it into something.
Yes.
But very few have.
Very few.
I'm trying to think of...
Tech from the Real World was in Van Wilder. I feel
and
like
he hosts Wipeout now. I think he hosts Wipeout for Kids.
Oh, that's
the version.
Yeah.
There's Wipeout for Kids?
I think
I mean...
Brad?
I will get knocked into a big vat of cotton candy. Why not? That'd be fun. But, like, you're one of the only ones that was able to parlay it into something else. I mean, did you want to do stand-up from a long time, or were you looking around to see what else could I do?
Like, yeah, at the end of the real-world experience, Rules, like, there's got to be a time when you're like, all right, like, I've got this exposure, right? But, like, also people are just seeing – I mean, also, but maybe, like, the whole reality show thing hadn't really been – so overexposed to where it wasn't going to hurt you, right? Or like,
well, I mean, I think it definitely nobody was excited about putting me like on a sitcom or anything like that. You know, it was way like that stuff was way, way far off. And the first, it helped me get stage time.
Yeah.
So once I decided I'm not going to do this reality stuff anymore, that I'm going to do comedy and I'm going to pass up when they call and that kind of stuff. And it was tough sometimes because, you know, you can make some money. And
yeah, they were like, hey, come be on this new show.
Yeah, and you go in debt. You go in debt being a comedian.
What
you know?
Were some of the opportunities that were being thrown at you?
It was just different challenges. It was another season of Road Rules. Actually, they brought old cast members back and did a whole nother original season.
Wow.
And I passed up that. I mean, that would have been nice. You know, it would have been some nice money.
But then you're not moving up.
Right. You're just perpetuating it.
Right.
You know?
And you're just trying to hold on to that one thing, and you didn't want to do that. And I thought of one more guy that was able to parlay it into something. The freaking Miz.
Yeah, the Miz is great.
The Miz is the WWE champion, or
he
was.
He lives not far from here.
Yeah.
Really?
It's fucking nuts. He's like, he's a great guy that's on a reality show that parlayed that into the hard world of professional wrestling. And I think both you and him had the thing in common where maybe the road rules, maybe the reality thing got you in the door, certainly. But then you have to have the talent to turn it into something.
Right.
The same way you – and the same way The Miz did it. Like, The Miz was like – because I'm a wrestling fan. When he came out, everyone's like, ah, fuck, this guy is just trying to be a wrestler. But then you see him wrestle, you're like, oh – shit, he's good.
Right, he can actually do it.
Yeah.
And he used to walk around at night and talk like a wrestler, and we'd be like, bro, shut the fuck up. You're talking, he'd be on the porch, literally walking in circles, talking to himself like, you ninny, what are you gonna do? I swear to God. And we're like, what are you talking? You are insane, bro. Like, right. None of us have a future. Sit down, you know?
Would you ever get super, would you guys drink and smoke pot during all these things? Or,
I mean, when I first went, people were there that were like actual real humans. Humans that had like jobs, and some of them were doctors. And one of them went on to be a governor, and The Miz was there. He went on to be a wrestler, and some of them had kids.
Who went on to be a governor?
This guy Sean from Real World Boston ended up. I think.
Oh, like the fireman guy.
He might have been a fireman. I think he's like governor
if
of.
You
Minnesota.
Say it higher with your voice, maybe that would be the right answer.
Maybe the fireman guy. The fireman guy. Now that's a South Park character.
Yeah, that's the noise everyone thinks I should make when I talk. Oh, he's 4'4". He probably walks down the street like, hey, I'm going to get a Subway sandwich. He's trying to get a Subway sandwich. Come on,
I mean, now, I'm really, really bummed you don't talk
to me. Dude, you should do a video where you go to Home Depot and just scale the fucking walls looking for shit for people. You're like, what are you looking for? You just throw a fucking, like a hook and a, yeah.
Yeah, take out like the Batman grappling hook gun and go, all right, I'll get that ladder for you.
Yeah. There's several little videos like that we've conjured up. We talked about putting him in a
crazy. I've never really spent that much time around. Like,
yeah, we want to put him in a McDonald's ball pit and like have like him in like a onesie and like challenging kids who are in there to fight. First of all, popping out of the balls and scaring people would be a great thing.
Yeah, like a wrestling onesie going, what you gonna do? Be fucking fun.
Yeah, what are you gonna do for that Big Mac? Is what you call it.
But like, but basically, what I'm saying is, I mean.
Yeah, it was a tough transfer.
Yeah, and because you're overcoming that stigma of, oh, this is just some reality guy. Because there are people that just sort of try comedy and they think, well, I got famous in something else. I can try
like
comedy.
And I'm not saying that Steve-O's bad or that he's not entertaining. He's a great stage performer.
Sure.
But to really become a sort of, you know, you have to comedy is something you can't, your dad can't give it to you. You can't just get it.
You've worked hard.
And that's why I wanted to do it, because I was like, well, this other thing is something that just happened to me, and now my life's definitely askew from it, you know, because I don't, you know, like, you couldn't just normally just be yourself and chill. You couldn't lie to people that easily anymore and say you were like a dentist or whatever.
Yeah, right.
So now you, like, had to have something. So I was like, well, I'm going to go do something that nobody could say that this was because of anything else. So I think that's why I chose comedy. I think it's probably why all of us chose it a little bit, that chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, and then it's something that you're in complete control of, and especially in something like Road Rules, where through the magic of editing, they kind of make you seem like if they want you to feel and fill out this character arc that they have an idea for you, they can, like, all right, well, let's only take the parts where he got in fights with people or only said racist comments. Then he's like the racist from Louisiana or something. But now
sweet bread comment.
Yeah, let's just put
that on a loop.
But now as a comic, you don't have that. You don't have the producer. You don't have the story editor. Yeah. You're the writer. You're the director. You're the producer, and you get to present however you want to be. And I think and I've seen you at the Laugh Factory. I've seen you at the Improv. You kill it, dude.
Everybody loves to watch you too, man. Like, that's
getting busy.
Yeah. You love stand-up?
You guys, too. I mean, yeah, I think I definitely like it. I mean, I get nervous sometimes with where everybody records everything, and some people can't say what they want to say anymore, I feel like.
Well,
but you can't even practice real shit, you know?
Because then people take it.
Do you guys worry about that?
I do. Lord knows, like, when they release videos of people, I remember when the Tracy Morgan thing happened, not the accident recently, but when they said that he would stab his son if he was gay.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, my God, Tracy Morgan hates gay people. It's like, no, he's working out a joke. Maybe that wasn't ready yet, but he has to have, you know.
Well, okay.
You know.
I mean.
Maybe the whole.
I don't know what joke. I mean, yeah. We can talk about that if we want to.
But you know what I mean? Like, we have to be allowed that freedom because, yeah, we're going to fail sometimes.
Right.
And Lord knows I've said some stuff on stage that, if taken out of context, would be like, oh, my God.
I think that's
Brad's
a
fucking psycho.
That's a strong example, though. I mean, I don't know what that joke is either with that Tracy Morgan thing, but like that type of thing, you just got to know if you're like, I don't know.
I mean,
was there a joke there? Or like, he just said he would, that was his in his head, that was the punchline.
I'm not sure exactly. I think just, yeah, like if his son came home,
which
he was
ironic,
gay,
the first time I ever saw Tracy Morgan was at that hotel, the Andaz, whatever, it's right next to the comedy store.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is like the first week I was ever in town. I was in that lobby, and Tracy Morgan was in there arguing with cops with a knife in his hand, a butcher knife, with his shirt off, and he was saying, "You telling me... oh, I get a knife. There's a white man running down the street right now who came at me with a knife, and I'm wrong. Why aren't y'all out there chasing a white man who's running down Sunset Boulevard with a knife right now?" Like, making this huge spectacle, like, almost shit. Like it was a performance. Yeah. And these two cops, like, don't even know what to do.
Right. They're like, "I don't know. I got Brian Fellow telling me that I'm a racist." Yeah.
This but that is was really the first weird. Thing I, like, the first thing I ever saw in LA was that, man. It was pretty crazy.
That's incredible.
But he had a knife, man. He loves to have a shirt off and loves to have a knife.
Hey, man. Everyone's got to have a calling card.
It's true.
And did he smell like sweetbread?
I didn't get that close to him. But one time I was doing a challenge actually in New Mexico for the Road Rules stuff, and Tracy Morgan was there, and I got up and did some comedy, and it didn't go very well. And because it wasn't a real comedy club, it was just at a bar where they had a microphone. Right. All your friends always think, "Oh, this is a great spot to do it," right?
Yeah.
Like, "Oh, at this freaking funeral service," right? They got a mic, bro. They got two speakers.
Perfect. That's
everybody
all
could use
need.
A pick me up, yeah. You know? And but he was
everyone's
there.
Everyone's like, "Dude, that eulogy was not that funny."
And but, he gave me some advice, but it was not good advice. I don't remember what it was.
Have you gotten great? I mean, Howie would probably be. Do you have a mentor in this business though, or have there?
I don't really.
Everybody
Howie's
at good, some
though.
Point, as you've gone along, has had like for me, Brett Ernst gave me some decent advice at a point where I like was really needing it, and I feel like I've always remember that. But do you have anything like that? That's
one of my friends actually, and it was this. There was this the Road Rules guy's wedding I just went to. He told me one day. He said, he asked me. He said, "Have you ever worked really hard at something in your life that it didn't pan out?" Like, really worked at it. Like, really worked hard at something where it didn't come to fruition. And I've just really thought about it, and I was like, no, you know? And it just made me think that I guess if you really work hard at something,
right.
Then it'll happen.
Yeah.
And what capacity, I don't know. You know, what capacity, we don't know.
Yeah, there's so many things that are out of our control and how, you know, and not everybody's going to work hard and become Will Smith, but
right.
You could,
hey, I'll take DJ Jazzy Jeff's career.
Really? I would too, actually.
Yeah.
He's not bad. If he had an act, he could be getting killer stage time.
Oh, my God. There's so many guys like that if they just pop into scent, like, that's what's great, too, about all these guys who are like Chris Kattan or Steve-O, you know, guys that are now, like, parlaying their attention they got from that into stand-up. Like, there's gonna be more of those popping up, like, fucking
right. It's crazy because you imagine how many weeks
Alfonso Ribeiro,
yeah, from, does he do it now?
Fresh Prince, no,
he
but
could.
I'm just saying that's another one. If he did, you wouldn't go see him at the Improv.
I'd go see him,
exactly. And if he closed with the fucking Carlton dance, that's all he needs to do.
It's not unusual,
he could do one hour of just nothing, but as long as he closes with that dance, you're like, greatest show ever, fuck yeah,
that's true, man.
But here's what I want our listeners to take from this, then we'll wrap this up, is that you're not the guy that comes in and just says, "I was on Road Rules" or whatever.
Yeah, like, I never told a joke about it, actually.
Yeah, like, you've got legitimate material. You're a legitimate funny comedian, as we heard from that clip. So I don't want people to think, like, you just got this forever. No, you got this because you busted your ass. You go to the clubs every night. You're on tour. You're on the road. And you're funny as hell. And I know that if our listeners go out to see you, they will have a great time.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate that, dude. I mean, I think we're all overcoming little hurdles, whether they're our own or ones that are in the industry.
Well, little hurdles are pretty big for me, too. But I'm just saying, it's a lot.
You can't say anything around this guy.
You can't turn it off, man. Always making you feel bad.
It's a long way to jump. That's all I'm saying, guys. Come on.
Yeah, that's true, huh? You have the hurdles with the ladder.
Yeah, exactly. I need that fucking Batman grappling hook gun again. So where can our listeners find you on the internet?
Just at Theo Von, TheoVon. And check out cranktex.com. I'm sure you guys will enjoy it. It's definitely helping you get through work.
And your specials on iTunes.
Specials on iTunes. And we got the Deal With It show comes back on TBS in October, and it'll be on Wednesday nights at 9:30. You can check that out, and hopefully we'll have these guys on as guests soon.
Yeah, damn right.
If I have anything to say about it, dude, it would be awesome.
Well, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, Theo, thank you so much for coming out.
Yeah, thank you guys, man. I'm clapping back at you guys.
Yeah!
I'm not clapping for me.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.